Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our epistle reading for this Sunday brings to mind an idea or a theological concept that we really do not give that much thought to. If we Lutherans have any, quote, theological blind spots, the places that are the ideas that we really don't think about that much, the top one is probably the Holy Spirit. The second one is probably God the Father, or specifically the work of creation. Now, I don't mean creation in the sense of God's creation of the world in 6 days, though that is a part of it. Instead, I mean the created world around us, all the things that we can touch and feel, all the things that God created for our use. In other words, the things that God created for us and which we see around us, the things for which we thank Him in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, the things that we say He created in the first article of the Creed, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. If we had had our regular vacation Bible school this summer, this sermon, this Sunday, would have been the ideal capstone to it, or the ideal kickoff to it, because our theme would have been care of creation. As it is, we're going to have VBS a little closer to when school resumes, and the theme will be baptism, but that's another story for another sermon. But specifically, our reading from Paul's letter to the Romans today focuses in on how sin has infected more than just humanity. Everything has fallen under the sway of sin. The creation itself waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. All of creation is brought together in sin. Now, God created all things, of course. In 6 days, God created everything that is, light and dark, sea and sky, land and water, stars, fish, birds, animals, everything God created in 6 days and declared it to be good. Every day ends with, and God said it was good. And so creation itself is good. But it is on the sixth day when God creates man, after which God declares everything to be very good. Man is the capstone of creation. He was created by God to tend the creation on God's behalf. You know, I actually have to laugh. I've seen a few of these stones or bumper stickers or the like that say that on the eighth day, God created the farmer. Well, those are actually incorrect. He created the farmer on the sixth day. Adam was created, among other things, to be a farmer. So that's the oldest profession. God created man to rule over the creation, to tend to creation as God's representative. And so, as man goes, so goes all of creation. Before the fall, everything is fine. And yet, then man falls into sin and everything is encompassed, everything is brought into that curse. The curse on Eve affects all of her daughters. Eve is cursed that she will have pain in childbearing, and I don't have any experience with this, but I'm pretty sure all the mothers in this room can agree, childbearing is painful. The curse on Adam, affect not just Adam, not just his sons, but the ground itself. Cursed is the ground because of you. Adam's fall is the reason why there are thorns, why there are weeds, why it is hard to farm. Because of your sin, the ground will bring forth thorns against you. By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread from the dust, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Everything is brought into that sin. We often talk about how original sin is unfair, how someone suffering for the mistakes of someone else is unfair, that children being punished for their parents' sins is unfair, and all of that is true. And yet, the rest of creation did not fall into sin, yet it is dragged down to sin with Adam. Adam and Eve fall, all of creation falls too. As man goes, so goes the creation itself. Think about the movie The Beauty and the Beast. Regardless of whether you agree with the premise that the entire castle should suffer because a 10-year-old prince didn't want to answer the door for a stranger, the sin is the prince's, but the entire castle and its staff suffers for it. As the prince goes, so goes the castle. As man goes, so goes the creation. All of creation is affected by sin. And so all of creation is in this position of waiting for God to restore it from sin, groaning under the burden and the weight of sin. So that when we look at the world around us, we see all of these effects of sin. Simple things, thorns and weeds, rocks in the garden, the need to put in so much effort to your garden or your farm, all of this is a result of sin. Before the fall, crops would have been bountiful with little work, no worry about enough rain at the right times, no worry about pests or weeds, no worry about the sun scorching everything. After the fall, it is laborious. Illnesses and diseases were not originally part of creation. Something like the coronavirus would not have happened if it weren't for the fallen nature of creation. Creation is fallen, and so creation devolves into these things, like these diseases. Coronavirus seems to have come from bats, similar to swine flu from pigs or bird flu from birds. Creation itself, you're making humans sick. Creation fallen into sin with man, bringing forth the results of sin. I'm pretty sure if it were not for sin, bees and hornets would not sting you. I don't know what mosquitoes were doing before the fall, but it probably wasn't sucking your blood and making you itch. Even something as fundamental as death is not original to creation. Animals eating other animals, animals killing other animals, all of that was not original to God's good creation. All of this is the effects of sin showing itself in the world around us, not just in ourselves, and yet we see the effects of sin on ourselves as well. Our bodies do not hold up forever. We get sick. We die. We can disappoint the people that we love or be disappointed by those we love. We suffer for the mistakes of others, or we watch other people suffer for our own mistakes, our own sins. All of this is still after God sent his son Jesus to redeem us through his death. Christ died on the cross to atone for sin, and yet we still find ourselves groaning under its effects. And yet it is with hope, groaning as we await the full redemption, knowing that what happens or what will be, it will be worlds better than what we know now. When all is set right, that will mean that everything is suddenly better. Sickness and disease gone entirely. Death defeated and no more. Sin will not break us apart, will not divide us. There will be no hurt, no division, no suffering. All will be as it was in the garden and better. And yet it's not just for us, it is for all of creation. All that God has created will be made perfect in this renewal. All things hope for the renewal that will come with the new creation, the new heavens, and the new earth. Creation itself will not go away. We're not Gnostics who think that the world will be gone and the physical will be gone and all that will be left is the spirit. No, we believe that creation will be made new just as it was in the Garden of Eden for perfection. Animals will be made new without the fear of man that God gave them after the flood. Plants will only produce what is good and beneficial and will not have the thorns and weeds that hurt. There will be no diseases, no sicknesses, none of this coronavirus. Everything will be new. Everything will be perfect. I sometimes like to think of creation like a set of Legos, and someone mixed in a set of Lego, or Mega Blocks, the off-brand Legos. They just don't quite seem to fit together. If you've ever had both and tried to put them together, they kind of work, but you kind of have to push it in, and you can't really get them apart that easily. When God returns to renew creation, he will remove all of the negative things, meaning the sin. All that will be left is what he originally intended. What is left will be what God created, the perfect, and he will remake it the way it's supposed to be, better than anything we could possibly imagine. Now, that is the telos, the end or the goal, but it is not where we are right now. Here and today, we still deal with the effects of sin. Creation itself is still broken and corrupted by sin. The impacts of that brokenness and that corruption still affect us today. Even though Jesus came 2,000 years ago to take away sin, to conquer death, we still feel the effects. But one day, sin will be entirely wiped away. One day, all the corruption will be removed. The world will be made new again. You and I, all creation will be new. But as we await that time, we still do receive little foretastes of what that wonderful day will be like. God takes simple elements of his creation, bread and wine, and he makes them new into the body and blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And he hands us this little bit of the new creation to eat and to drink, to receive thereby the strength and hope to sustain us towards that future. A taste today of the wonderful joy that waits for us when all things are made new. Come soon, Lord Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus as our Lord, as we await his new creation with hope. Amen.